So live,
yeah.
Goo live, the Rumble live,
yes,
the Instagram live.
Go ahead. I'll
okay. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ.
Global Community
Church. And we are definitely, he give my props up. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Take two. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church. This is Pastor Sandy Armstrong, and we have some Bible study to do tonight. If the Lord wakes you up at 4:53 in the morning and say, go write it down, it's important. So that was the time I woke up this morning, and believe me, I laid there for a few more minutes before I actually headed downstairs to go write it down. I was kind of trying to talk my way out of it, I guess, but God is gracious. So let's pray in, and then we're going to get started. I want to thank everybody. I'll look at all of the letters and stuff in the morning. My friend Peter Goslin sent me some music and a beautiful card. And of course, Yeni and her husband, they did get the CDs. Let's see, received the CDs. My husband's listening to them. He told me he likes it. I pray this is for prepared. Okay, good. He didn't say anything like, oh, you accidentally sent me an opera one too, because I sent him three, but I didn't know what the third one was. Oh. And I know I got a lot of opera in my car, so hopefully everything's good. Okay, so, and we'll read the cards tomorrow, because we have a lot of Bible study to do tonight. I just want to thank everybody for everything, and I really want to thank, and I'll give him a call in the morning, but it is official. I am the coolest pastor in America, because we have air conditioning in this room. There's like, I don't have to adjust my fan. Pastor Ben don't have a towel here for me to wipe my grimy sweat. It's just nice and cool in here. I'm like, did we go to heaven? What happened? So praise God. I'll give him a call in the morning, but that's like awesome. Okay, I want to pray us in, and then we're going to get started. So let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we just want to thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for all the people that get prayed for on Sunday, Father God. We thank you for all the prayers that are being answered, Father God. We just give you honor, and we just give you glory, Father God, in all that we do. And we just want to say thank you. And we just pray over the message, Father God, that I will say the things you want me to say, and especially the things that you gave me last night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, before we get into today's message, I want to kind of make an announcement, because the announcement is this. We have a lot of people that listen to us, and I don't know how many people are saved, and I don't know how many people are not saved that actually listen, but I'm hoping more people who are not saved will tune in, because the world is about to enter into probably the most horrifying time in the history of mankind. And when this happens, there'll be no way of turning back or trying to find your way out of it. And we're really trying to warn the world, like, this time and this date is coming, because most people don't know what the tribulation is. Most people don't know what the rapture is. A lot of Christians don't know what the rapture is. And if they don't, you're thinking of it as if, like, it's a biblical thing that God just wrote. But I'm trying to tell you, you're about to enter into a reality that you can't possibly imagine how horrible it's going to be. Because the tribulation, I would suggest that people who are not saved, And you know, I usually say, oh, read this so you can understand the gospel. But you got to read the book of Revelation and see what's about to come upon the world. And if people don't wake up, if Christians don't wake up who are trying to ride the once saved, always saved bandwagon, and if they don't wake up, you may wake up in something that is unbearable, horrible, horrific, and you will always say that, you know, that this is what they warned us about. So I'm praying that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For all the people that are men that have families and kids, and you have more than yourself to look out for. You need to look out for your family, for your kids. You need to introduce the whole family to Jesus Christ so you can give everyone in your household the proper opportunity to escape what's coming, because it's coming. And I'm just praying as many people escape as possible. So praise the Lord. I take the Bible very serious. And the Lord wanted me to let you know that there are things that I show you guys that you completely miss. You know, you ask me a lot of questions, but you completely miss little minute details that are amazing that God did. I'm gonna show you one, because we're gonna move on into this message today. But I want to show you what the Lord told me to tell you. Are you at the board? Can you see? They see the board, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Now, in the book of Genesis, it says Bereshit bara Elohim, which is the third letter of Genesis. It's the first book of the Old Testament. The third word is Elohim, and it has an equivalent of 86. That's the numerical value of Elohim. Now, when you get to Matthew chapter 1, which is the first book of the New Testament, it says the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? That's the first word. Well, the genealogy of Jesus, in the Greek, the third word would be Jesus. But look at what God did. If you spell Jesus this way, it's 888. But in that one verse, it's spelled 688, and they leave off this one letter, which is 200 value. So God have them leave off one letter from the name Jesus so that it equals out to 688. Because Jesus is the new beginning and 8 is a new beginning. But 688 is really just Elohim times the new beginning, which is Jesus. And so only one time is it we would say it's misspelled. They left out a letter. But God had the Greek people who are writing this or translating it in this verse, they left out one letter so that it could be equal to Elohim times 8 equals 688 equals Jesus. Because this Elohim, because Jesus is Elohim, this Elohim is the Elohim that's going to bring us a new beginning. Then, of course, if you go further down into the verse, you'll see the name Jesus, I think, in verse 16 or so. Yeah, it says, and Jacob was the father of Joseph and Mary, of whom was born Jesus. And then it's spelled this way. And then for the rest of the chapter, it's spelled this way. But introducing to him to you, in the first book, he wanted the third word in the first book to be an equivalent of Elohim, but in the name of Jesus, 86 points. So I'm just saying there are things that God does in Scripture that shows you he has full control over the Word of God. Now, do you guys remember on Sunday we talked about Deborah, right? And that and the Lord had me, he said, no, you go and you tell them, because this is something they need to know. This is my book. I'm telling the story. I've told it from Genesis all the way to Revelation, what's going to happen. So now, in the book of Deborah and Barak, first of all, it says Deborah, her name is means bee, or the charettes of it, the root of it is word, okay? So Deborah is the word. Her husband's name is Lipidoth. He's a torch. He's a fire. And she's going to go to war with a guy named Barak, which means lightning, right? So you have the word of God is going to come as a torch of fire, as lightning for judgment. Then the guy that's representing the Antichrist escapes the war and almost escapes, but he runs into a lady named Jael, or Yael, which means to ascend or to go up, okay? And then her husband's name is a friend and companion, right? Heber. So you got the friend or companion of God that's going up, okay? And so the Antichrist comes into Jael's tent and says, hide me. And she says, and he says, give me some water. She gives him milk. And then he falls asleep. And she takes a nail, a tent nail, and drives it through his temple. A big spike, and drives it through his temple. And so the guy representing the Antichrist was Sisera, and he dies with a nail in his temple. And now the Lord said, you didn't mention the fact that the Antichrist will be sitting in the temple when I come, and that's where he's going to get nailed. And so the Lord said, you go back and you tell him the whole story. He's going to get nailed in the temple, okay? And that's why it was done in that way. And of course, the other ways are when David cuts off his head, he's always being beheaded, because he told him, you will bruise his ankle, his heel, but he will crush your head. So I'm just letting you know that God wrote the book, and he's like showing you little things in every way to let you know I'm writing the book in according to what's going to happen, so you can see it, okay? Let me see, make sure I didn't have something else that the Lord wanted me to look over. No. Okay, now, I want to thank my friend Cy. I think it's S-Y Winnie, that's his last name. I think he's a musician, good friend of Soldiers for Christ. Anyway, he sends me a video the other day, and the Lord said, mention his name, because he's not a very good Bible teacher at all, and no, people shouldn't be listening to him. Well, I can't find it, so praise God. No, I can find it. Well, anyway, this guy is teaching at a radio station, and they are amazed at all of his Bible teaching, right? Soon as the guy sent it to me, I started playing it, and as soon as I started listening to it, I realized this guy is way off. He doesn't know what he's talking about, right? The best thing to do when you're around people that have knowledge about something is to be quiet, because once you speak, they know you don't know, right? So he says he's trying to amaze these people, and he said, I want you guys to know that Abraham was born in the 1873rd year of mankind. And then, but he didn't get the covenant until 75 years later, and then that would equal 1948. Now, to the people in the studio, they were, oh my goodness, this guy's amazing. And I'm sitting there like going, really? Because if Abraham was born in the 1873rd year of mankind, he would have been born 5 years before his dad was born. Do you understand? So I'm listening there going, well, that's impossible. Because his dad was, when his dad turned 70 and began to have children, it was the 1948th year. I know that, and I'm sure there's plenty other people that know that, but they were amazed, okay? But so I immediately turned it off, and I was like, well, I'll let Cy know that this guy, it's just off. And then the Lord said, go back and watch the whole thing. So I went back and watched the whole thing, and he was saying amazing things that, you know, aren't that aren't biblical, but events that are happening. But he's trying to, and then at the end, he says that he believes that Jesus is coming soon. So now, I want everyone who is a part of Soldiers for Christ to know this. If you run into a Bible teacher that tells you that Jesus is about to return to the earth and doesn't mention a rapture, he's a false teacher. Because you're not writing the book according to the author, you're writing the book according to some intelligence or understanding that you have, okay? Is the world waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ? The world is. Are Christians waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ? No, we're waiting for the rapture first, and then we'll come back when he comes back. You understand? It's God's book, and so he has a way that he's doing it. So this guy, he's doing this whole teaching, and it's just horrible. So I'm listening to the whole thing, and he gets to Genesis, and then I say, okay, because Jesus says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So he started counting the days that the flood started. Then he started counting the days that they were on the boat. And then that's what triggered the Lord this morning to wake me up and say, go and read chapter 8 and look at all of the dates that are being counted, because something happens there, okay? So, but before I do that, we have to do this, okay? Because we have to understand the scriptures first. Now, one of the things the guy was saying was, on the 9th of Av, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And he says, it's going to happen on July 11th or whatever date, right? And I said, and I'm like, he doesn't know that Israel's a month off. He has no idea that Israel is a month off. So he's telling people that of something that's going to happen on the 9th of Av, but he doesn't know that Israel is a month ahead of time. You understand? Israel started their year when they shouldn't have. So I'm going to read to you this before I get started. It says, the new moons and the equinox are the natural calendar made by the creator, Yod Heh Vav Heh. Understand? God has his own calendar, and he's had his own calendar from the beginning. You can't change it. It stays perfect. And the only way you can mess it up is if you start, you know, twisting what he's already told us to do, okay? So it says, the calendar can't be tampered with by man. Do you know that? Because nobody can go up there and change the equinox, and nobody can go up there and change the rotation of the sun and the moon, right? So you can't mess with God's calendar. That means even if man gets off calendar, God is always on calendar. So you got to find out, where is God at in his calendar? Because I want to be on the same calendar as God, okay? So now you have here, the calendar can't be tampered with by man. It is always there and was certainly understood by those who wrote the scriptures, especially Genesis chapter 1:14, Exodus chapter 34:22, Psalms chapter 19, verse 6. The moon starts the month. The sun starts the year. Understand that. The moon, the new moon starts the month, but the sun starts the year, okay? By the appearing to move from the solstice to solstice, passing through the equinox, how simple and how beautiful that is, okay? So now, every spring, you're going to have the spring equinox, okay? Every spring. Now, maybe out of 3 years, the new moon is going to come before the spring equinox. All you have to do is ignore that new moon, wait till the equinox, And then start your month at the first new moon after the equinox. And you and God will always be on time. You don't have to add a month. You don't have to try to, you know, come up with a new season. You don't have to do anything. If you do what God says, every year your calendar will be perfect. You don't have to have an 8-8-R2 or something 3, or you don't have to do anything, because with God, He's made it where it's perfect and it stays in line. Okay? So when the equinox came this year, the new moon had already come in Israel. So you know what they did? It's Nisan first. And it's like, yeah, but the equinox is not going to hit for another 20 days. We should wait. Okay, well, what are we going to call these days? Call them the days of obedience. You know what I mean? So wait, and then now the equinox hits. Then the 14th of that month will be Nisan, but you'll be right on time for the whole year, and you'll never have to keep adding a month and doing all that stuff. So I want you to know how it works, okay? Now, Strong's. They're called Tekufas. They're mentioned 4 times in the Bible, okay? So there are 4 seasons. There are 4 scriptures that mention Tekufa, which is the summer solstice, the fall equinox, the winter solstice, and the vernal or the spring equinox, okay? So they're mentioned in the Bible so that Israel wouldn't come up with new calendars, or somebody come up with a new Enoch calendar, for example. God didn't need Enoch to do a calendar. He already made a calendar in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, okay? So, and it stays the same every year. Why do you think that in 1917, they announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, and then in 1967, they announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, and then in 2017, they announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. So somebody knows is keeping account of Jubilees, right? So even though they may get turned off days or even add a month, God knows, He knows His calendar, and it's not that much off, but every now and then they'll do this, and then it throws the whole year off. Because it's like, I tell you, don't start January until after the equinox, right? And then you start January, and then the equinox come, and then you go, now they've already started January, they've already said Happy New Year. You can't even say Happy New Year. You know why? Because they already did it a month earlier, right? That's what they did, okay? So Passover was off, Pentecost was off, and the 9th of Av is off, the 17th of Tammuz is off, okay? So you have to know that, because once we get into this, you have to know that to understand and see what God wants us to see in Genesis chapter 8, okay? Genesis chapter 38, verse 12 begins at 10. Okay, we don't need that today. Yeah, but this is very important. The story that happens that starts this whole thing about the 9th of Av being a very important day is the 9th of Av being a very important day is when the 10 spies go out. Now, when the 10 spies go out, the people aren't listening to 2 people. They're listening to 10 people who are fearful and have no faith, but the 2 people, Yahshua, which is Jesus, and Caleb, which is a Gentile. So Jesus the Messiah and the Gentile church are not going to be heard by the majority of Israel, because they don't want to hear from Jesus and they don't want to hear from the Gentile church. Why is it set up like that? Because God is letting you know what's coming in the end times. Go wake him up and tell him to go lay down on the back. You snoring. So you can lay down. Oh man, don't you fall. All right, so I want you guys to know and to understand that the 9th of Av became this very important day, right? And the 9th of Av becomes the day that both temples are destroyed. And the 9th of Av is the bad day for everything that happens in Israel, okay? Now, let's look at this. Listen to this. This is also that we showed you on last week. It says, 7 years before God rescued the Hebrews out of Egypt, he built Hebron. So God is letting you know there's something going on in Hebron that has to be 7 years before the rescue of the Hebrew people, okay? Now, the other place that's there is called Zoan, which means a place of departure, okay? So he's building a place for Hebron, his companions and friends. They aren't Jews, but they're companions and friends. And they take off from a place where called what? Zoan, which means the place of departure, okay? So remember what I'm telling you, God is writing the book, so he's showing you what he's going to do in the future in the scriptures so that you'll see how detailed he is. So you go back and you study and you have to kind of comb through it so that you can get everything that God is showing you. Okay. I'm going to go to the next page of my notes. And on the next page of this note is... is first of all the Micah 7:1. And Micah 7:1 is letting you know that the saints have vanished from the earth. Micah chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Woe to me, I am one who gathers summer fruit, grapelings from a vintage. There is no cluster of grapes. My soul desires the first fruit." Okay, the first ripe fruit. The saints have vanished from the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his neighbor with a net. So he's saying that he's looking in the summer. It's summertime. God is looking for the early summer fruit. He can find none, but he's letting you know this is summertime. Okay? Now, Jesus comes in Mark 13, verse 28, and he says, "Now learn the lesson of the fig tree," because the question was, when is the end time, right? He said, "Learn the lesson of the fig tree. When its branches are tender," 1947, "and its figs and its leaves come out," 1948, "you know that summer is near." So he said, the end times, the last generation is beginning when Israel is rebirthed. Okay, now, that's the second summertime event. Then you get to the book of Amos. And it says, "Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel, and I will not pass over them anymore." So he's saying in the summer is what? The end. Okay. Now, we can continue. There are some others that are in scripture. And the Lord's telling me don't rush to go in and go through it. So let's look at Song of Songs. Okay. Is the 22nd book. 20. Okay, Song of Songs, and we are in chapter 22. Now watch this. This is what our friend showed us last week, and I want us to be on the same page. We're getting to it. We're not there. I'm leading you up. Here goes. It says, "My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling." Now, this is Christ, the church, and Israel. And these are these conversations going on in Song of Song. It says, "My lover spoke to me and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter has passed and the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear in the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Then it says in 13, the fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. So the blossoming vines is now the fruit of the vineyard is now coming forth. And it says, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. But when does he saying come with it? When you see the fig trees blooming, the early fragrance of the vine. So we know that that is a summer exit. Now we go over to chapter 5. And here we go again. Or is it? Yeah. Chapter 5, verse 11. It says, I went down to the grove of the nut trees to look at the new growth in the valley. To see if the vine had budded. What vine? The grapevines. Or the pomegranates were in bloom. That's an early fruit season. Before I realized it, my desire, which is Jesus Christ, set me in a royal chariot of my people. So Jesus came, sets you in a royal chariot, and swifts her away in the summertime, during the pomegranates, during the vine. So we have time after time in Scripture that God is talking about this summer, this exit of the bride in the summer, this disappearance of the people, of the righteous people from the earth in the summer, 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 summer. Okay? So we can't ignore it when it gets just completely, but now Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Now, I want us to understand and know something. It is Jesus who in Matthew chapter 24 said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay? So, we went back to Noah and we say, what year did God tell Noah the flood was going to begin? He says, in the 120th year, okay, judgment was coming upon the earth. So Noah waited for the flood, he built the ark. He did exactly what God said do. He builds the ark. In the 120th year, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 120th year, the flood began. Now, I want you to understand something. When the flood is over, and the ninth of Av is presented, they're going to be at the 601 year. And it'll say that. It'll say now in the 601 year, this is what happened. Okay? So if the 600 was the 120th year, then the 601 year must be the 121st year of after God had told him this was going to happen. But it all began when? In the 120th year. Now, I'm trying to let you know and understand, everything started with us in the 120th year. I don't want to go through Psalms again and again, but Psalms counts the years. And the only way that God would do this is to let you know, in this book, in the 19th book of the Bible, I'm going to be counting. And the way you're going to know I'm counting is I'm going to prophesy what's going to happen in each year. And so you get that pattern of God counting. You get to the 120th year and we're praying and asking God to deliver us from lies. We know also in the 120th year, if it is a judgment from God and it's like the days of Noah, it can't just happen in America. It has to be worldwide. So we get this whole COVID thing, but it's worldwide. So the whole world is under judgment. The ladies were telling us about when we went to Santa Barbara, it was so beautiful up there, I couldn't wait to go back. She said, it don't even look the same. A lot of businesses are closed, a lot of homelessness, you know, because the 120th year, 2020, tore up a lot of things throughout the whole world. People are still trying to recover. And now they're still active trying to get this thing started back up again, right? Because we need to know, as the body of Christ, when the flood came, the end of the flood is the Holy Spirit leaving and taking the church, okay?
Amen.
So let's read. I'm going to stay on my page here because this is a good way the Lord had me put it together. It says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, the waters receded, okay, steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters had gone down, okay? And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. Now, if you're a part of S4C, you know and understand that the seventh month back then, before Moses, is now the first month of the year, which is Nisan. So the ark landed on Mount Ararat on the 17th of Nisan, which is the same day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the ground. And the word Ararat means reverse the curse. So it's saying that a curse is going to be reversed when? On the 17th of Nisan in the future. Okay? So this is, remember, the word of God is prophecy. Genesis chapter 5. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, top of the mountains became visible. Okay, so 150 days has lasted, and the waters are continuing till the 10th month. Okay? And it says, the first day of the 10th month, they could see the top of the mountains became visible. Verse 6. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, and it says here, and sent out a raven. Okay, so after 40 days passed, Noah opened the ark and took a raven and sent it out. Okay, now it says here that he sent out a raven and it kept flying, going back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. So the raven went out and it never came back to the boat. It just flew around until the earth had completely dried up. Now, let me explain to you. Okay. If Nisan was the seventh month back then Iyar would have been the eighth month. If you could show the I don't know if they could see it on that page. Then the ninth month would have been Sivan. And the tenth month would have been what? Tammuz. So it was Tammuz on the first day of Tammuz, and then Tammuz has 29 days in that month. So, and remember he said it was 40 days. So after that 29 days in that first day, it leads you up to 40 days being on the ninth day of the 11th month would have been the ninth of Av. The 40th day would have been the ninth of Av Noah let the raven out of the boat. So he sent the raven out. He sent the raven out on the ninth of Av, which is the same day, what? that both temples are destroyed. So what does the raven represent? In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 13 through 15, it says, "And these you shall be regarded as abomination amongst the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination," God says. "The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the hawk, the falcon after its kind, and the raven after its kind." So the raven is an abomination to God, and it is not something that is wholesome to God. So he lets out this raven, which represents evil, and he sends that out. It never comes back to the ark. Now, it says, in verse 8, it says, "And he sent out also a dove to see if the waters had receded from the surface of the ground." Okay? But, here, let me read it. Let me read it here so we can get the whole thing. Okay? "Then he sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could not find no place to set its feet, because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself." What does the dove represent? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Greg. "He waited 7 more days and again sent the dove from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in his beak was a fresh plucked olive tree or olive leaf." So he's letting them know the olive is always representing the nation of Israel. The fig tree represents the nation of Israel. You would have to read how all of these trees represent Israel. So the olive is one of those trees that represents Israel. But the leaf has been picked off. And so now here we are. "Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth, because he brought back a leaf." And it says, "And he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return to him." Now at this moment, the Lord says, go write this down. There is coming a time where the dove is leaving and it will not return. And when is that time?
Rapture.
Thessalonians chapter 2, right? 2 Thessalonians, when it says what? That the one who is holding us. Okay, let's go to Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now listen what it says. "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brother, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed in his proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who holds him back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed." So, the Lord says, go write this down. The dove is representing the Holy Spirit. When the flood happens, it was not over for the people on the boat. They were in the boat. They were still in Christ. But the events in the world were still going on. And it was still a worldwide problem. And it's still a worldwide problem. But on the 9th of Av, something evil is going to happen. And the 9th of Av is when? August 16th, 17th. Something evil is going to happen August 16th, 17th. That should alarm the church to get ready. Because on the same day he sends out the raven, he also sends out a dove, but the dove comes back. It's not time to go. But 7 days later, he's going to send the dove out again, and he's going to make a confirmation that Israel is still not ready. Then he's going to send the dove out, and the dove will not return, because that will be the end of the matter. So the Holy Spirit is going to leave, but I want you to know that God made it specific when he says, I'm going to mark these days so they know when the evil goes out, it's a raven, and it goes out of the boat on the 9th of Av. Why would God send the raven out of the boat on the 9th of Av? A defiled bird leaves on the 9th of Av. And then 7 days later, the dove goes out as well, but then it comes back and says, in the evening it came back, said, hey, they're not ready. So we wait 7 more days, and then the dove went out again. And this time he took the church with him, and he didn't return. So let's continue reading. I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 8.
Amen.
Praise God. That is good stuff. Okay. I'm going back to chapter 8 of Genesis because we want to read the rest of this, okay? All right, so we're in verse 12, and it says, he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. There's a nun there for life, and that's incredible. I got to figure out why I did that. It says, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 600, in the way it says, by the first day of the first month, Noah's 600 years, 601st year, the waters had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. This, he keeps saying completely dry because dry represents no life. Death, no life, okay? So everything is dry, but remember the dove already left. So now we're getting into another portion of this whole thing. But listen, it says in the 601st year of Noah's life. So if the flood happened in the 120th year, now it's the 121st year when it all happens. When the dove leaves, we're now in this 601st year. It says here the 601st year, but it's saying it in the time of Rosh Hashanah because that's when they started a new year back then. But now we know that the new year starts in Nisan. So in the 601st year, just as in Genesis, which is the 121st year, is the year that everything happens. That the dove takes off and doesn't come back. That the dryness on the earth and nothing but death is there. Now, once the church is gone and the dove leaves and there's dryness in the earth, now Noah comes out of the ark, his family comes out of the ark, and then they start in verse, in chapter 10 or chapter 9, God makes this covenant with Noah. And And in chapter 10, they give all of the nations in the world that are who belongs to from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And then in chapter 11, something else happens. Nimrod comes forth. So we see that after the flood, after the dove leaves, and then now the earth is dry, but what are you now seeing? The emergence of Nimrod to rule over the whole world, because Nimrod told everyone, you will all stay here and worship me. No one is leaving. We're going to stay here. We're going to build a tower. And Nimrod was the first Antichrist. So let's read it. It says, now the whole world had one language and one common speech, one world order, right? And as men moved eastward, okay, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Now, to go eastward means you're going against God, because God is coming from the east and he's traveling what? West. Okay, so everybody was going the opposite of God. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not to be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But what's God's command? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. They're saying we're going to do the opposite, okay? This is all under Nimrod's command. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, if as one people of the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their languages so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole world. So Nimrod's attempt to have a one world order was destroyed only when God said, let us go down. And the new Babylon, the mystery Babylon that is coming upon the whole world, that says we're going to have one world religion, no borders. This is what we're going to do. And that Babylon, the mystery Babylon, which is, and I have to tell people, the guy who was teaching this, was his whole thing was saving America. Zechariah says every nation in the world is going to go to attack Israel. That means that sometime America is not going to be saved. At some time, America is going to turn its back on Israel. And when they turn their back on Israel, they're turning their back on God. So the whole big thing was, and this is how they were making their money, was having these conferences and giving these seemingly highly intelligent Bible studies while they're telling people that they're going to be able to save America, and that Jesus is coming back and he's going to establish his throne. And they never in the whole conference one time mentioned a rapture. Okay, but they're selling books and they're telling people that Jesus is coming back, but they're not talking about the rapture. How is that possible? Okay, so when I'm talking about the Bible, I'm talking about, let's look at the structure that God has set up. On the 9th of Av, something crazy is happening. I hope on the 9th of Av, or before the 9th of Av, that the dove leaves and takes the church and doesn't come back. Okay? But if it should happen after the 9th of Av, remember the 7-day wait when Noah got on the boat, then he waited 7 days, and maybe the 7th day after the trouble hits, then we wait 7 days, and then the dove is sent out, and then he doesn't return. But we are waiting patiently because the Bible is being structured by God, and he's telling his story. Otherwise, there's absolutely no reason to have the raven leave the boat, a defiled abomination bird leave the boat exactly on the 9th of Av, okay? So God is trying to tell us something. It's happening, and it's going to be in the 601 year of Noah's life that this thing gets concluded. And that's the year that we're in. So praise God. See you in the morning. That was Bible study.